ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 Text 30 and 31, chapter entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. So I'll just read text 30 by myself and then we'll chant 31 together. This is text 30, translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: upon reaching the shelter of Lord Sesha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chitraketu saw that he was as white as the white fibers of a lotus flower. He was dressed in bluish garments and adorned with a brilliantly glittering helmet, armlets, belt and bangles. His face was smiling and his eyes were reddish. He was surrounded by such exalted, liberated persons as Sanat Kumara. Text 31. We'll chant together. Tad darshanat vashta samasta kilbisha. Swasta malanat karno. Swasta malanat karano bayan muni. Pravriddha bhaktya pranaya srulochana. Prahrishta roma namat adipurusham. Tad darshana dvashta samasta kilbisa. Swasta malanat karano abhayan muni. Pravriddha bhaktya pranayasru lochana. Prahrista romam. Roma namat adi purusham. Mataji's, please. Mm. Tad-darshana. By the sight of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dvashta. Destroyed. Samasta kilbisha. Having all sins. Swashta. Healthy. Amala. And pure. Antakarana. The core of whose heart. Abhyayat. Approached face to face. Muni. The king who was silent due to full mental satisfaction. Pravriddha Bhaktaya. With an attitude of increased devotional service. Pranayasru Lochana. With tears in his eyes because of love. Prahrishta Roma. His hair standing on end due to jubilation. Anamat. Offered respectful obeisances. Adipurusham. Unto the expansion of the original personality. Translation. As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, he was cleansed of all material contamination and situated in his original Krishna consciousness, being completely purified. He became silent and grave, and because of love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes and his hairs stood on end. With great devotion and love, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead. Purport. The word Tad Darshana Dvashta Samasta Kilbisa is very important in this verse. If one regularly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, one will gradually be disinfected of all material desires simply by visiting the temple and seeing the deity. When one is freed from all the results of sinful activities, one will be purified, and with a healthy mind, completely cleansed, he will increasingly make progress in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamani Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Adhistarani Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Rama. So Prabhupada says, if one regularly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, one will gradually be disinfected of all material desires. That's a heavy term. Infection. Material life is an infection, Prabhupada said. Dukhalayam asasvatam. It's a place of that is temporary and full of miseries. But only a devotee is actually happy here. That's the positive side. Vishvam Purnam Sukhayate, Prabodhananda Saravati says that this world is actually full of happiness for a devotee. I remember once I was in London and I heard our ISKCON Sridhar Maharaj, he was giving a talk. And apparently he just came out of coma. And he was again traveling and spreading Krishna consciousness, even though he just had come out of coma. And somebody asked him, so how do you feel, Maharaj? He said, I feel with my hands. Now he was talking about feeling like this. And he was laughing. And he says, so you all know that I'm in the Antya Leela of my life. But Krishna has given me a little extension. So I don't want to waste it. So I'm traveling around spreading Krishna consciousness. So I was very amazed. You know, here is a person that's just come out of coma. Is like so happy, you know. Fully fixed up in Krishna consciousness. The other day we went to see Sura Prabhu. Me and Krishna Namacharya Madhukiran. And Sura Prabhu is, as we all know, that he's very ill, but the whole time he was just like joking and laughing. It was unbelievable, you know, how in so much pain, so much, suffering, but when you're fixed up in Krishna consciousness, it's unbelievable how we can transcend all this and feel that we are actually spirit soul. There is actually one memory by Atma Tattva Prabhu. He was explaining how Prabhupada would often say that material life is an infection. He was a new devotee and he was about to get initiated, but he had this infection in his mouth. So he couldn't brush his teeth for a few days. He was just gargling with water. So he went into this small room to get initiation from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked him, what are four rigs? And Atma Tattva Prabhu was trying to explain, trying to say the four rigs. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada can smell the bad breath, I guess. Prabhupada said, you're not brushing your teeth properly? And this devotee became so embarrassed. He says, all he could say was infection. Prabhupada, oh, infection? Picked up his beads that he chanted on and handed it to him. Chant 16 rounds. So Prabhupada could immediately relate to infection and chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is the position that material life is actually an infection. Our hearts and heads are filled with material desires. But the beautiful thing is, Krishna is not, you know, a dull stone. He's very dynamic. Anyone who approaches Krishna, it says in the Bhagavatam that Krishna actually cleanses our desires from within. But it makes it much easier if we actually cooperate with Krishna when he's actually trying to cleanse our hearts. Instead of trying to hold on, cling to the desires really tight, you know, like a puppy dog, you know, catching onto a socks or a ball or something won't let go, you know. Then it makes the progress very slow, the process very slow. But if we had a matter-of-fact attitude that we have material desires and we have come to Krishna consciousness to get rid of them and Krishna is helping us, so if we cooperate with Krishna, then the process is very smooth. Then we make quick progress. Just like a patient. If he goes to the doctor when you're sick and the doctor is prescribing you something and then you come home and you think, oh, actually, this is not what he meant. And then you do your own thing. Then it may not get cured very soon. So this infectious material desires is not surprising. It's there in all species and we've been, you know, saturated with it for many, many lifetimes. I was speaking to my mother last night and she was explaining how my niece, she has this puppy dog, and vegetarian, of course. I was reading an article actually that talked about how if you just keep a big dog, it's as good as maintaining an SUV. Because a dog apparently eats like about 400 kgs of meat every year. And where do they come from? From all these slaughterhouses which use all these natural resources. So they recommend if you really want to have a pet, the cheapest and the most eco-friendly is to have a goldfish. So my niece has got this dog, and after she goes to school, this dog has been trained in such a way that the dog is bringing a ball and throws it in front of my mom and barks. And she's not used to like dogs and stuff. And then the dog goes and brings the newspaper, whatever it can find, it keeps bringing it to her room and puts it in front of her and barks. So my mom called my niece and said, "What's going on? This dog won't let me alone." And my niece explained, "Oh, he wants a treat. Because the dog has been trained, if you bring something, then you give you something, candy or I don't know what the dogs eat, biscuits." So the dog can see that my mother is visiting and very closely related to the family, so it's playing all the time. But it wants something in return. Who is wanting something for itself? It's there in all species of life. But if we take to Krishna consciousness, actually the process works. The process of Krishna consciousness cleanses our heart from all this dust of selfish desires, material desires. All the senior devotees like Suvas Prabhu and others, you've seen how so many new people come and gone, but those who have come with the right attitude and they apply the process nicely, then they come in the door one way, and you actually become a person that's completely transformed. The Krishna consciousness process actually changes our heart. We can see that for ourselves. That how by chanting Hare Krishna and associating with devotees and reading Prabhupada's books, our conception of what's reality and what's priority in life actually changes. And it's amazing. In material life, we desire so many things, but we always like fall short. We always don't get what we want. On the other hand, in spiritual life, we don't even know what we want. We come in the door, you know, looking for something. Maybe like stress relief or, you know, who knows what. Everybody comes for a different reason. There was this devotee in ISKCON Tirupati. He is the head cook. And his desire was, he was a truck driver before coming to Krishna consciousness. And he was thinking, "My God, you know how truck drivers' lifestyle are in India, at least. Really hard." So he thought, "I'll go to ISKCON, I'll join ISKCON, where I don't have to do anything, I'll just smoke ganja and sleep all day." But then when he came, he started associating with devotees. After the novelty wore off, they sent him to the kitchen. And he realized they don't smoke ganja and you have to work twice as harder as a truck driver in Krishna consciousness. So we come in with some motivation, some desires. But in material life, our desires never get fulfilled. But in spiritual life, Krishna is amazing. You know, we just chant Hare Krishna even with all kinds of desires. But Krishna says that He is willing to give shelter at His lotus feet, pure devotional service, through the process of bhakti yoga. Even though we don't know about it, we hardly desire it, but still Krishna is so kind. Material nature is so cruel. We are always being ripped off, but spiritual life is so beautiful that you come in for something, but you get something big, namely the lotus feet of Krishna. But we just have to do our part. The part of the deal is that even though Krishna is willing to clean our hearts and give us this topmost jewel of Golokera Premadana, love of God, we cannot take it for granted. We also have to do our part, like Archita Prabhu was saying. We have to do the sadhana very intensely and show Krishna that we actually care. It's like Prabhupada has given us this ISKCON sandwich, morning program, evening program. And during the daytime, that's like the filling of the sandwich, actively trying to spread Krishna consciousness or give Krishna consciousness to others in some way or other. And by this process, we can actually attain this topmost platform of Krishna consciousness. We've just saw in this pastime, Maharaj Chitraketu. He was just went through all the things we're discussing. He was attached to wife and kingdom and having a son, and then he was taken away. Again, he got instructed by Angira Rishi. Now, by applying it strictly, he's seeing Krishna face to face. It says, he saw. What was the form he saw? He saw actually Sesha? Sankarshan, yeah. Sankarshan reclining on Sesha Naga. So this is the process. It's also Prabhupada explains in the purport that how visiting the temple and seeing the deity is actually so easy and so joyful, but the result is so cleansing as well. It's when we used to go to temple as a child, you know, we'll sit down and close our eyes, and the seniors would yell at us, like, you can't close your eyes in front of the deities. Because you have this Mayavadi tendency, like you sit down and, you know, close your eyes and try to meditate. But it's actually an offense. It says you cannot close your eyes and meditate when you're sitting in front of the beautiful Lord. Because the source of all meditation, the source of all the Vedas is just standing in front of us. But we have to develop this love. One time, somebody asked Jagannivas Prabhu in Mayapur, what should you do when you see the deity? And he explained that we should faint. When you see the deity, you should faint. Of course, it's very high level, but we can start practicing. Like Prabhupada used to quote Mahaprabhu, don't untimely faint and cause disturbance in the temple. But Mahaprabhu, when he went into Jagannath temple, Jagannath Mandir, he just saw, you know, here is my Lord. When he saw Jagannath, deity, Mahaprabhu just went into trance, just fainted. So this process of deity worship is not an imagination or some new thing. It's been actually around. Actually, think of some question. Because when I ask for some question or comment, everybody become blank. Think of some comment or something so you can say it. So Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath and he fainted. And Prabhupada was listening to a talk. Prabhupada was explaining how, you know, especially in India, there are these temples of Ranganath in Sri Rangam. This temple of Balaji in Tirupati, Varadaraj in Kanchipuram. There's like unlimited temples and deities being installed by the Acharyas. And Prabhupada was saying, the Acharyas, they don't have anything better to do that they're installing, you know, some stone and people are standing in line and wasting time. No, this is a science. It's been around forever. And the process of deity worship is actually so potent and so scientific. And just by, you know, taking darshan of Krishna, coming to the temple, our hearts become cleansed. How easier can it get? And the beauty is, most people don't even know who's God, or they don't have any name for him, or they don't have any process of deity worship. But in Krishna consciousness, we have all these things. We know what Krishna looks like, how beautifully he's decorated and worshipped, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadish. And we have all this science given to us. So we are so fortunate. So we should take advantage of this and come in front of Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. Just by this simple process, our material infection in the heart can actually be cleansed. And we can see Krishna face to face. There are so many pastimes in the Sri Sampradaya that explains the potency and nature of deity worship. There was this one of the Alvars, like we have the Goswamis. there are these Alvars in Sri Sampradaya. And one of them was actually a highway robber before he came to Krishna consciousness. He actually fell in love with a Vaishnavi girl and she converted him to a topmost devotee. His name was Tirumangai. He actually was the one who, the Srirangam temple, Ranganath temple, became like the home of jackals and owls and bats. It was completely was not cared for, but he revived this whole thing. He built a whole city. He actually went to Sri Lanka and stole one deity of Buddha. That was pure gold, huge Buddha deity, and put it on a boat and brought it to Sri Rangam, and melted it and made a roof for the deity of Ranganath. It was unbelievable. And his girlfriend actually told him that you have to feed at least 2,000 Vaishnavas every day. That's your service. So he would go, hide somewhere, and a wedding party would come by, and he would take off his sword and take all the jewelries and go, and this is not to be imitated. One time the wedding party came by and he actually took off his sword and they removed all the jewelry and gave it to him, but the wedding girl couldn't take off her ring from her toe. So he pointed to the ring and said, "You have to give that as well." She said, "It's too tight, I can't take it. You try if you like." So he was so greedy to feed the Vaishnavas, he actually went on the ground and put his mouth around her toe and tried to remove it. And then they gave him darshan of, that was actually Lakshmi and Narayan. They actually gave him darshan saying, "We're so pleased with your service." There was actually this another person, a disciple of Ramanujacharya, his name was Anantacharya. There was actually a discussion going on in Sri Rangam, and Ramanujacharya was actually speaking, giving a talk, and in the middle of the talk, Ramanujacharya said, we want somebody to go to Tirupati and Sri Rangam, or maybe San Jose, and or a little longer than that, maybe San Francisco and LA. But Anantacharya, Sri Ramanujacharya asked, "Is anybody willing to go there and create a garden for Balaji and take care of this deity worship?" And he immediately raised his hands, this attitude of sacrifice. Even though his guru was right there and he was happily living with his wife and serving his guru, he went somewhere where there was no association, nothing, it was a jungle at the time, and he just went. And he was actually serving the deity so faithfully, so loyally. And Balaji would actually speak to him. He was so impressed with this. Him and his pregnant wife, they would be gardening in cold weather. And Balaji would disguise himself as a gardener, as a laborer, and try to come and help him. And one time, actually, Balaji, it says the deity actually called for Anantacharya. And Anantacharya said, "I'm a little bit busy, I cannot come." So the pujari went and told the deity, like, he's not coming, he's a little busy. And later on, when Anantacharya came with a garland to put on the deity spoke and said, you know, I wanted to see you, but, you know, what is this nonsense, like, you cannot come. And he said to the deity, look, you're also a foreigner here. I'm also a foreigner here. And I'm here because my guru wanted me to garden, so that's the first business, I was doing that. So you try to interfere with my guru's instruction. Now that I'm done with it, now I can deal with you what you want. It's not an imagination. The deity can actually reciprocate and speak. Of course, in Chaitanya Leela, there's so many pastimes of deities speaking. Prabhupada tells this famous pastime of Sakshi Gopal. We all know the pastime, but Prabhupada said, this Brahman went to the deity and said, come with me and be my witness. The deity said, I'm just a deity, I cannot go with you. How can I go with you? I'm a deity. And the Brahman said to the deity, if you can talk, you can also walk. So this way he defeated him with his logic. The deity actually came with him and became witness for this wedding. So this process given to us by the predecessor acharyas is so potent, but we just have to qualify ourselves by pleasing the devotees, pleasing the spiritual master, pleasing the predecessor acharyas. We can actually see Krishna. Prabhupada told one Mataji, book distributor, if you keep going out on the street every day, trying to distribute my books, one day you will actually see Krishna on the street. So this is how convinced Prabhupada was. Prabhupada was asked, like, why are you reading your own books? It's understandable if a karmi reads his own books out of ego, but, you know, you're the author of the books, but you're reading your own books. Prabhupada said, what do you mean, my books? These are written by Krishna. Krishna dictates them to me and I write them. And every time I read, I learn something new. So we have this Christmas marathon coming up in a couple of days. We can all participate as much as possible and just try to distribute, doesn't matter, big or small. And this is the way to please Prabhupada, actually. Even though it's just been like few years, 30 years or so since Prabhupada left, we're already forgetting like what was the most pleasing thing for Prabhupada. It was his book distribution. I don't want to get into it like other services are not important like that, but everything is important, but not for book distribution. It was very, very pleasing to Prabhupada. And we all have the books, especially like so as Prabhu is providing us with unlimited books, we just have to distribute them. Such a beautiful temple. Most temples don't even have a book room. They can't afford to order books or distribute books. It's become like a Hindu temple. Everybody's big into like Ekadasi and this and that. But we have the fortune here in our temple. We have so many books, so many facilities. And of all year, if we can't do it, at least this month, even few days in a month, like World Enlightenment Day, we can go out and try to distribute few books. It's so pleasing to Prabhupada. And this is the way to make progress. On our own, we cannot make progress. By pleasing Prabhupada and praising the predecessor acharyas, we'll get the gift of love of God. Like last night, Kumudini Mataji was going out 6:30 and the PM to the movie theaters with Kumari Gopi Mataji, and they were actually distributing books. That's so nice. It doesn't take, even a new person can understand as soon as you come to Krishna consciousness what's the basis. So it's not a rocket science. We all know it. Any quick comments or questions? Omkar Prabhu. Is that a setup?
Well, that music actually is related to the comment. Prabhupada said that this process of deity worship is so nice that simply by remembering the deity, when you leave your body, you'll go back to Godhead.
Jai. Amala Bhakta Prabhu. I turned it on.
Thank you for a wonderful class and so many nice, informative stories. I wanted to just comment on just one point that you had made, and that is when the devotee asked, I think it was the Maharaj, you know, what should I do? And he said, what was it? He said, you should faint. What was that in relationship?
What do you do? What should we do when we see the deities?
Yeah, you should faint. So the point I want to make is that the fainting that is done on the material plane when a person is shocked or is afraid is not the same fainting that a person does on the spiritual plane. For example, when you speak of fainting or going into trance, as you mentioned, one withdraws from the external world. His mind, his consciousness is no longer in the external world, but it is in the internal world. And Lord Chaitanya made this very, very clear. He would enter into a trance and even persons would shout Hare Krishna into his ear, and sometimes he would not even answer. And finally, they kept shouting and screaming, and they brought him back into what we call external consciousness. He felt very sad. He says, I was in the world, and I was serving Radha and Krishna. I had these flowers, and then you pulled me out, and this was very, very, you know, rude of you. So it's not like fainting. As a materialist, he's afraid, he's shocked, and he goes unconscious. This is simply unconscious of external world, but conscious of internal world. And that is, of course, a very high advanced stage where one is completely attached to Krishna. So it's not merely just fainting. If you faint like a materialist, that's not much of an accomplishment. But if you faint like Lord Chaitanya did, meaning going into the divine world, then it is an advance, it is an increase in your spiritual realization.
Thank you for that. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.